You are listening to the audio-only portion of the KoopaCast. To watch the video version, please check out purenintendo.com/KoopaCast. The intro and outro music of our KoopaCast is brought to you by the artist Big Giant Circles, who has composed for projects such as Mass Effect 2, Super Street Fighter 2 HD Remix, and Borderlands 2. Our opening song is Houston, and our closing song is A Rose in the Field, both from the album Glory Days. To listen to more of Big Giant Circles' work, go to music.biggiantcircles.com to see his entire collection of video game remixes and soundtracks. You can also find his collection on iTunes. Again, that website is music.biggiantcircles.com. Everyone, thank you for joining you, tuning into another episode of the KoopaCast, PureNintendo.com's bi-weekly podcast dealing with all things Nintendo. This is episode number 84, New Year's Resolutions. I am your host, Matt, the Multimedia Manager of PNM and PureNintendo.com, and I am joined by our writer, Trevor Gould.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening.
And that's everybody.
Small pickets tonight.
Yeah.
See, when there's just two of us, we can be a little more relaxed.
Exactly. And I can plug lines more, like I'm doing right now.
Yeah.
But anyway, as I was trying to say before, I just completely fell over my own words, was that even though we're only 2 weeks into 2016, I figured it's not too late to take a look at, you know, what happened in 2015. So, you know, we're going to talk about, you know, the highs and the lows of Nintendo, and we're kind of going to go with one high from each of us and then one low from each of us and then interchange until we run out. So for my first highlight, I put for that Mario has turned 30.
Yeah, it's a huge milestone.
Exactly. Nintendo's flagship series is finally, you know, 30 years old, and that kind of makes me feel old.
Yeah, I think people can take that for granted, because you think of gaming as a hobby isn't that much older, and Mario's been around for most of it. So
that's true.
That's a sizable, you know, to kind of dominate a particular medium like that. So way to go, Mario.
Yeah, and he remains as popular as he ever was.
Mm, absolutely.
And that's really got to say something about a company whose mascot that can really stick around. I mean, he's the mascot where we're in an age now, there's no real video game mascots out there.
Yeah, that's true. It's not like it was back, you know, when I was like a, you know, a kid in the 90s, where every company had, you know, were represented by a, you know,
a mascot,
your Mario, your Sonic, your
whatever. Crash Bandicoot, like, and it was every, like, all those mascots were like, you know, that company's answer to Mario.
Yeah.
Like, Sonic was supposed to be, like, this edgier Mario, and Crash Bandicoot was, like, this crazier Mario. It's like, what was Crash Bandicoot?
He was, yeah. He was,
Like, he wasn't edgier than, like, he wasn't, like, edgy like Sonic was supposed to be.
He was, you know,
Sega Genesis days. He was just kind of, like, a very goofy and wacky character.
He was goofy. I remember when I revisited the game, the last time I revisited it, and the humor just, I don't know if it struck me when I was younger, but watching Crash do his little dance, or it's like you try to be too cool, it can sort of backfire, so I don't know.
Yeah, but they did have a really great campaign. They're like commercials.
Oh, yeah.
That guy in the Crash costume.
Yeah, they were zinging Nintendo outside of the headquarters, I remember.
Yeah, like that. I think that, and that kind of commercial was like ahead of its time. Like, we see kind of like the, you know, quote unquote candid commercials out in public, you know, all the time. And you didn't really see much of that then, like in the mid 90s or whatever. So,
yeah, I remember him taking a shot. And it's funny because obviously Crash Bandicoot, you know, is nowhere near Mario 64 in terms of 3D gameplay, but, you know, it was impressive for what it was. And yeah, they definitely had good marketing. And I mean, I like the games. I got the original, the trilogy. So, you know, they hold up probably as well as can be expected.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, they age like a PlayStation game ages, I guess.
Yeah, that era, the 32-bit era, really, you know, by virtue of, I don't know, full motion video or
sprite work and all that.
A lot of texture mapping, pixel, I don't know, it's just, well, it's interesting.
It's the early 3D early 3D era. And none of that stuff's going to age as well. Like, you know, when we played Mario 64, it's like one of my favorite games, but that game is aged terribly.
it's funny. I was just thinking about that. I'll be posting a game review shortly, actually after the KoopaCast probably. And the camera reminded me a lot of Mario 64 because it was just so dated. And it's just amazing how far we've come, you know, that things that, you know, seemed great at the time. Now we're like, what were we thinking? But, you know, we didn't know any better.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, you got to figure out how 3D environments work, 3D cameras.
Yeah. Well, and even 2D Marios, I mean, not that I like the new Super Mario series as much as the classics, but just in terms of gameplay and tight, responsive platforming, I mean, they really nail it. I mean, it doesn't feel slippery or loose or, you know, there's no... You know, for me anyway, so...
Unless you're playing as Luigi, then.
Well, yeah, that is true. But I guess with any genre, you know, things, you master techniques and whatnot. And
yeah,
Mario's been around for the growth of it.
That's very true. So what was one of your highlights now, Trevor?
Well, I don't know if it's redundant to say, like, Mario Maker as a release, talking about Mario, but for me, that is my personal,
speaking of 2D Mario,
that's my personal game of the year. And it excites me too, not just in terms of like, you know, helping move Wii U, whatever, but it just seems like so many in the industry and even beyond kind of, you know, got into the spirit of it, the hype of it. And, you know, we're seeing.
And who didn't want to make a Mario level, you know, when you were young?
I know. It's like a childhood dream. Like, I wish I saved all my scribble notes from when I was, you know, a kid. But but it's cool seeing, like, even, like, current developers, you know, building their own Mario levels. Different indies or different celebrities. And there's a steady flow of DLC. It just, you know, for me, it's the sort of game I wish so much the Wii U had in its first year, because who knows where the console would be if, you know, that was out in that first year.
I mean, it would likely be in a much better place, because Mario Maker it's like the game that you wish, I shouldn't say wish, it's like the perfect game for Nintendo to market the Wii U's capabilities. It's a Mario game, it uses the gamepad, you can make your own Mario levels. It's like the perfect blend. It's like an advertiser's dream of what you want to highlight your product with.
Yeah. And speaking of advertising, for as much as we knock Nintendo for advertising, Mario Maker is one of the few games, along with Splatoon, that I actually saw good advertising for.
Now, are you saying that just because our score was on one of their commercials or what?
Well, that was awesome too. Yeah. Nintendo's recognizing our... you know, our place in the field. But no, it was nice being able, you know, because we see so many, you know, PlayStation, Xbox adverts. It's nice being able to see a high profile game get the sort of advertising it deserves. And I'm sure they probably could have done even more. But it just excited me seeing, you know, flipping through TV or seeing on the screen, hey, it's Mario.
He's still at it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was actually just at a friend's place just yesterday, and we pulled out Mario Maker, and as we were building levels, I'm thinking, why haven't I played this for so long? I need to get back on this.
I know, same here. I had some friends over, and I was showing off levels and looking at all the updates, and I'm like, man, I got to go back through these levels and add, checkpoints now and, you know, take some amiibo and incorporate them and just different new features that have come up. So
yeah, there are definitely some of my old levels I could really use a checkpoint.
Oh yeah, probably most of mine could. It's a game that really made me kind of empathize with developers and the struggle they have to make difficulty that's balanced. Because, you know, I'm like, why aren't these levels getting any stars? Why is the completion rate like 2% and they're just too hard? And, you know, you when you make it and you know it inside and out, it doesn't seem that way to you, but for a first timer.
Yeah, so
that's something I've been learning over, you know, through Mario Maker over the course of making my levels.
Like, I thought I just like could separate myself enough to see like where people would like mess up or not mess up. But all like most of my levels are still too hard.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like one of them is like bowling for one ups, which is like the first Mario Maker level I probably made with the concept. And the whole goal of the game is just to like get as many one ups as you can, like kicking Koopa shells into Goombas. And there's like 10 lanes or whatever. And then you just go through each one. And it's almost like it's really hard for you to die, but so many people die. And it's like got a completion rate of like 18%. I'm like, come on, people, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Are you like blindfolded playing this game?
Well, it shows too the broad appeal of Mario because, you know, how many people playing those are, you know, little kids, like, you know, kids who are our age when we played the original Mario games are playing Mario Maker now. So they're still cutting their gaming teeth, you know, and learning. So
that's very true. Unfortunately, I also had Mario Maker as one of my highlights.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Also, we should move on to one of the lights, which for one of them, I just put Nintendo and DNA stocks dropping following the Miitomo announcement, which was definitely a very underwhelming announcement that took place in October, I believe.
Yeah, it was. Part of it probably it was expectations. Maybe we expected something great, but a lot of it was they sort of built it up to, you know, to be something special. And, you know, in effect, all it was is we got these things that are coming that may or may not excite you. So,
yeah, I mean, I feel like though that Nintendo didn't hype it up too much. I just remembered like, we're going to have a press release. We've teamed up with DNA. There's going to be 5 games. And that's pretty much all the information I remember us really getting out of that. Mm. And of course, a lot of it was born out of like, oh, maybe we're going to get Mario on the iPhone. Maybe we're going to get a Link to the Past on the iPhone or Android, I guess, or smartphone. And then they kind of came out and said, you know, the first 5 games are going to be, you know, new IP. We're not going to put any like Nintendo ports onto the iOS. Yeah. You know, they kind of flat out said that. And between that, the Miitomo announcement, and then the announcement that instead of the first mobile game being released at the end of 2015, that it was going to be March 2016 by the time we saw any kind of Nintendo IP on the smartphone.
Yeah. Delays in general, I kind of had just as a general a little late for the year, but yeah, it's a balancing act because I mean you want to have time to build up excitement, but you know if you're going to announce, you got to have kind of, I think you got to have a little something to show, and what we got were more, I don't know, maybe it's because Miitomo is a hard concept to grasp or totally understand unless you have it in your hand.
Yeah,
and I feel like we didn't learn enough to build up excitement. It's more, you know, mild curiosity for me. Like, oh, okay, that sounds interesting.
Yeah, well, I'm definitely interested to see what they're going to do with it. And of course, I'm going to download it so I can see what's going on because, you know, that's part of my job.
Yeah. Well, I'll be sharing secrets with one. That was a weird thing for me because they're like if you go on Miiverse, their Nintendo is so keen to avoid sharing any type of personal info.
Yeah.
You know, you'll get post deleted. And then this app is kind of geared towards sharing info. So it's sort of like a 180.
But you can only do it with people you're friends with on Miiverse, I guess.
I don't know. It's just weird. And it shows, I mean, Nintendo's, I guess, you know, changing with the times. I mean, who would have thought you know, 2 years ago, we would be even seeing Nintendo stuff on phones. So
that's true. Who knew 6 months before they announced that we would see it, when Iwata said that it was never going to happen. And then all of a sudden it's like, hey, guess what? It's happening.
Yeah.
All right. So what's one of your lowlights?
Well, definitely one that we share, and I know the Nintendo or gaming community at large was, you know, the death of Iwata, I think, kind of hit everyone hard and by surprise too, because from what I remember, I thought he was on the mend.
The mend?
Well, you know, like rebounding health wise, like I thought he was improving.
Oh yeah.
And
then they said,
so to hear that, yeah, kind of. Like, I remember when I first heard it, I'm like, I think I saw something on Twitter, and I'm like, is there? No, I can't be. It's got to be some kind of rumor or something. But yeah, I mean, for this industry, I mean, he was not just Nintendo, for, you know, gaming in general, he meant a lot. And I think that kind of, you know, for a few months after, I think Nintendo was feeling the effects of that internally. I obviously don't have firsthand info on that, but just the sense I was getting as they were trying to restructure and, you know, gear up for like the holiday season. I can't imagine that it didn't hit everyone in the company.
Oh yeah, I definitely imagine it did. I didn't see anything. I just thought I saw some kind of pictures from the funeral at all, but I think I just kind of saw one as it was, the whole thing was going by. But yeah, that was pretty rough. And it was definitely good though to see, you know, I mean, the internet, you know, there's the good and the bad in the internet, but the, you know, the mood definitely just seemed much more positive toward Iwata's legacy, or Iwata's legacy, and, you know, remembering him, remember what he's done in gaming. Also, since we follow like a lot of developers, kind of listening to what the developers said and, you know, how he influenced them and how they get into gaming and how they're kind of thanking him for that too, you know.
Yeah. And it was really, I mean, for a year, 2015 certainly wasn't Nintendo's best year, but he had that continued enthusiasm, you know, when you'd hear him speak and see him, you know, you got that sense that, all right, you know, better things are coming. So, and it was kind of contagious, which I liked.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. So, all right, enough of this somber talk. Let's go back to the highlights.
Yeah, definitely.
So for the next highlight I put was, I already told you one was Mario Maker. I guess another thing I wanted to add to that real quick is, you know, it definitely took us by storm, us at purenintendo.com by storm, to a point where we had to devote like an entire thread on our like workstation of just so we could post like our Mario Maker level. So we're clogging up the main feeds.
I know, that's right. We got to get back to that. I got to go in and clean up some of my levels and add some new ones. Yeah, I forgot about that. That's great.
But another highlight I had was just how well Splatoon did in 2015. Mm. I was very pleased to see it do well, because I mean, I reviewed the game myself and I loved it a lot. And I do realize that when I got the copy, there was not a lot there, but what was there was extremely fun and refreshing. But I was so afraid when it was releasing that, you know, people weren't going to pick up on it. You know, they're going to see like maybe some bad reviews here and there, and knowing Nintendo's or the Wii U's install base, we weren't just going to see like Nintendo or Splatoon like really take off, and then, you know, Nintendo would be back to their old ways. But, you know, Splatoon did take off. Everybody loves it. They supported it. Nintendo supported it throughout the entire year with free DLC, like new levels, new weapons, you know, new clothes. The Splatfest were, you know, a good success. So, and I hope this was like definitely something that Nintendo picked up on and said, hey, you know, now there's like a team going, hey, we took a chance with the Splatoon and it did great. What else can we do? What else can we take a chance on? You know, what are the teams doing right now? What ideas do you have? You know, give me something like nice and, you know, new and refreshing.
Yeah, no, fresh IP. You know, certainly a risk, but I mean, like you said it, I mean, it's got continued support. It was advertised. I know it had, you know, different Amiibo characters, which it's driving attention to. It is just fresh and colorful, and it taps into to a genre that Nintendo as a rule hasn't really been associated with for some time. So,
and they classically Nintendo'd it up, you know?
Yeah.
There's no bullets anywhere. There's ink or paint.
Yeah. Is it ink?
I can't remember anymore. It looks like paint, but it's really ink. That's it.
I've been back and forth on that because the way it, but at the end of the day, it doesn't, you know, I guess it doesn't matter. It's just, it's that congealing of different elements that makes it, you know, that makes it work. And like you said, you know, Splatoon was a runaway hit. Is that going to put more into, you know, R&D for the next new IP?
You know, because as much as I love,
yeah, as much as we love Mario, you know, I'm excited to see the next Splatoon, not a Splatoon sequel per se, but the next, you know, new thing. And yeah, that's big. And I think it's big too for, you know, the critics who like to say, oh, Nintendo always recycles their, you know, their old IPs. Well, you know, here's a powerful statement that no, we're still coming up with new ideas and gamers are still responding to them in a great way.
All right. And what's one of the highlights that you have now?
Oh, let me take a little peek here. Well, I don't know. This is sort of a personal highlight for me, but it does tie into gaming. This past March, I was able to go to PAX East, and definitely the highlight for me was seeing all the great indie games that Nintendo had coming to the eShop. And most of them have released. We're still waiting on, like, Rive got delayed. But being able to play, you know, Adventures of Pip or Runbo, Affordable Space Adventures, games like these that, you know, were really fun, oftentimes made good use of the gamepad. You know, it kind of helped with when there was that lull in, you know, retail releases or some of the retail releases that were maybe, you know, less than desirable to see these fun indie games and to see the support that Nintendo keeps giving, you know, these indie devs. So
yeah, there was a personal highlight. There were definitely some fun indie games out there.
Yeah, for sure. And
I'm still upset that I almost said something that was very spoilerish. I almost slipped up bad there.
Whoa. All right. Everybody rewind it and pause right around there, see if you can catch it.
Luckily I did not say enough to have people put the pieces together.
Well, I will just kind of use this to segue to speaking of indies. Technically, it just released, but it was announced in 2015. Of course, we all know and love Shovel Knight. It was our, you know, eShop Game of the Year in 2014. And that just got an Amiibo. And I think that's big, having the first third-party Amiibo character. And that's a lot of fun if you guys get a chance to, if you haven't yet, it opens up a whole new, you know, two-player mode and stuff. So,
so you have it?
I do. Yeah. I picked it up. I was surprised I kind of looked thinking I wasn't going to be able to get it. And I went and I checked out. I was at Best Buy and the guy's like, oh, wow. Where'd you find those? Were they on the floor? He's like, we had people in this morning. They were so angry. They couldn't find any. And I just happened to catch it at a good time. And it's the second Amiibo I've actually purchased. I've held out for a long time, but yeah, the thought of two-player Shovel Knight, and of course they had new DLC this year too, so it's another indie success story on Nintendo, and another way that Nintendo is really working with the indie devs. So I mean, what's next? Is it going to be, you know, a Shantae Amiibo or Max from Mutant Muds or, you know, some of these other games? I don't know.
We should totally have a Shantae Amiibo.
Yeah. That whole line, I mean, love it or hate it or somewhere in between, Amiibo is driving revenue.
Yeah, it
is. Nintendo, and that's going to help them work on the Splatoons or, you know, the games that we hope to see. So, you know, in its own way. I mean, that's a highlight for, even though I guess production's probably still struggling, but they can't make them quick enough.
That's very true. And moving right along. Now this is a personal highlight for me, because that's the kind of person I am, but a light for Nintendo, which was the reaction towards Metroid Federation Force and Blast Ball.
That's a highlight for you?
I enjoyed people's reaction to Blast Ball. I was disappointed that it was Blast Ball, but that goes no further than, oh well, we don't get another 2D Metroid, or you know, we won't see like a Metroid Prime, like a proper Metroid Prime with Samus. But then just people went crazy and we're just yelling, and there was a protest, and they were going to sign this petition to talk about how insulting it was to the Metroid fan base that the Federation Force is going to be in it. And it was insane. And it's like, I smiled a little looking at the petition that they put up.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's gamers can be so entitled.
Yeah, but
I
loved it. I loved every minute of it. Like, because it was also so anti what everybody wanted from a Metroid game. You could see Nintendo just like grabbing the rug with the word Metroid in it and just yanking it when the Blast Ball came out.
Yeah, I suppose I liked it in the sense that it seemed to deflect some of the hate off of Amiibo Festival, which I actually thought looked cute. That was another game that got hate, but
Metroid looks like the most chill game I've ever seen.
Oh, it definitely, definitely is. You definitely need certain people to really enjoy it, but no, just thinking on Metroid, I mean, Metroid gamers in particular, I think, are pretty picky. I mean, you know, people love to knock Other M. It's not the greatest Metroid game, but you know, I was just thinking, it seems like when that came out, it had pretty good critical reception. And then like after the fact, people are like, oh, I hate this. This is a disgrace. And
I don't remember it getting good critical reception though.
Really? I thought it did.
I can find out right now by going to a certain website that aggregates these scores.
Oh, yeah. The one we don't speak of.
I'm just not trying to name drop or anything like that.
Yeah. Well, at least from what I remember, maybe I only check, you know, sites that liked it or Nintendo, you know, oriented sites. But I think it reminds me of Blast Ball in the sense that they were trying something different with Metroid. And people will scream for ingenuity, but then Nintendo gives it to them and it's like, oh, this isn't the Metroid I know and love. You know, I want the classic Prime Metroid or 2D Metroid. And I mean, it must drive Nintendo crazy because gamers can't be pleased. You know, they scream for one thing, you give it to them, and then they scream for the thing they had before.
Yeah, but they did well with Super Metroid, they did well with Metroid Prime, they did well with Metroid Fusion and Zero Mission.
Well, like, you know, the internet wasn't as big. The internet wasn't as big back then. So,
that's very true. So, okay, it looks like you're right. Looks like it's, you know, more or less positive of Other M. Aggregate score is about 79 for critics, and the users is 6.5, which is, you know, that's not bad. That's, what do you call it? Respectable, I guess.
Yeah. And I mean, other games have done that. You know, there's games that will release and are really good, then people seem to later on hate it. And then it goes back around, people kind of love it again. So, you know, I guess there's a cycle to some extent with certain games, you know, or even, you know, movies, music, whatever it might be, anything maybe, in general.
Maybe I'll pick it up and see what they say, what all the fuss is about. I know I went through...
Oh, you never played it?
No, I watched the opening cutscene, and that was a very long, long period of time for me.
Yeah,
it's like definitely it's like time dilated and moved slower as I watched Samus explain every single thing that I was looking at.
It's a cinematic game. I mean, you got to remember prior to this.
That's a bad cinematic game then. I don't watch a movie and have a narrator tell me what's going on in the movie. That's bad cinema.
Well, if you play it, you'll see it progress. But you got to remember prior to that, of course, we're getting off topic again, but who cares? You know, Samus really didn't have much personality to speak of.
She didn't have much personality to speak of after that game either, apparently.
No, it's like, you know, they're trying to, you know, and people like to knock Team Ninja, but you forget, you know, the Metroid, you know, name escapes me, but it wasn't like just Team Ninja. It wasn't like they didn't have any Metroid people working behind it. You know, the originals were there.
Yeah, the originals were there, which many people do forget.
You know, they were trying to give, you know, some personality. For me, you know, it was hard to, you know, relate to this kind of, you know, just this bad bounty hunter who, you know, you don't know anything about her. And here, you know, it's somebody who has, you know, a backstory, somebody who can have emotion, somebody who can show hesitation or fear. And it's like, yeah, but they still get the job done. I liked it. I mean, it wasn't perfect. You know, some of the dialogue did go on a bit much, but yeah, check it out if you haven't. You could probably get a brand new copy for like $5.
Oh yeah, I probably could. Okay, maybe I'll make that do that in 2016.
There you go. There's your goal. And if you do hate it, we can write a versus piece on it or something.
I will totally bring it on if that happens.
Hopefully you'll like it. It's not Super Metroid. It's not, you know, the original Prime, but I liked it.
Gotcha. All right. You got another low?
Yes, I do. The new 3DS for me was a low because it released early in the year. I remember we wrote, I think, last January in PNM, things we hoped for the new 3DS. Here we are a year later, and we're talking before the show. What do they have? Xenoblade?
They have Xenoblade Chronicles, and that's it.
You know, maybe there's a few eShop games that have, you know, some enhancements with it, but it definitely has not been taken advantage of as far as I can see.
It is an incredibly underutilized piece of hardware, and it really makes you question why it was released in the first place.
Yeah, so, I mean, in 2016, are we going to... In the second half of 2016, are we good? They've already announced several games for early in the year that don't seem to do it. But yeah, it just seems like a waste of hardware. If it's designed to extend, you know, the 3DS, you know, the lifespan of the system.
The processing power, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Xenoblade, you know, we love Xenoblade. I'm not knocking that under any circumstances.
We do love Xenoblade.
I mean, I want something else. I mean, granted, Xenoblade's a long game. It's going to take you a long time, but, you know, after a year, it's time for something new. So for me, that was a low light.
I would agree with that. And, you know, hopefully Nintendo does something else with the new 3DS. But it's tough to say, especially because we don't know anything about the NX, the upcoming NX that they're going to announce at this E3 in 2016.
True. Yeah.
And if that ends up replacing the 3DS, then... You know, all that's going to do is make people scratch their heads even more. Like, why is this new 3DS even exist?
Yeah.
You make another 3DS and to have a faceplate model for that one, and then everybody's happy there.
Yeah.
I think that's what people cared about the most was the faceplates.
It seemed that way. I could see not maybe wanting to invest too much in games that can only play in the system because you limit your audience. But... why not games that are enhanced? Like, you know, remember with like the Nintendo 64, they had, you know, the little, the RAM card or whatever.
The expansion pack?
Yeah. And that, you know, would enhance a lot of games. You could still play them without, but the visuals were a heck of a lot better if you played it with. You know, why not have the equivalent of that with 3DS and let us play like, you know, whatever, some of these new RPGs that are coming out.
Yeah, I was going to say, even probably better. Fire Emblem Fates or Bravely Second, they'll probably like benefit from this new 3DS.
Yeah, look better, load up quicker, have some type of amiibo functionality. You know, I guess that's one of the quirks with it. Although, you can buy the separate thing, I think. So I don't know. I just don't know.
But why would you like that? I mean, if you buy the separate thing, then that kind of starts defeating the purpose of having like a handheld console that you could take anywhere.
Yeah.
Is that you can have these extra accessories that you got to like plug in, you know?
Yeah. It just seemed like it's a good idea on paper, but they haven't done much with it yet.
That's very true. All right. And let's go back up to the highlights. For me, this is actually a dual highlight and a low light. Which is Nintendo's E3 in general. Yes, the video was very entertaining. For it's a highlight entertainment-wise, just to watch all the Jim Henson puppets go around and, you know, having them do, like, little bits and quirks and that kind of make people laugh. You know, I really enjoyed that. I think they tackled, like, some of the, like, you know, they had, like, did an interview with Miyamoto, and he kind of talked about Star Fox and, you know, he was behind all those gates and stuff, and he was talking about like the inspiration and, you know, what to do with Zero and like, you know, what made him kind of bring it back. Like that stuff I enjoyed a lot, and I hope kind of Nintendo brings that up into 2016 for, you know, people who obviously cannot attend E3 2016. You know, I think that was the right way to go about a couple of things. And of course it was also low because it just, there was not a lot there. There was Star Fox, and Star Fox was there and Metroid Blast Ball was there.
Yeah.
And they talked a little bit about the Skylanders Amiibo figure thingy, which you can buy separately now, apparently.
Yeah, that's true. They just came out with the Donkey Kong and Bowser. I forget the names of them, but yeah, no. That's definitely, I had that for me, for a high anyway. I had the E3 Muppets because I think that was in a show that was underwhelming. That was a nice lift. And I was actually watching them. Is it a GIF or a GIF of the Muppets dancing? Just,
oh, awesome. I think that's still my avatar for Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's the Iwata puppet.
And that, I mean, I could watch that, you know, every day and still crack a big smile because I thought that was great. But yeah, the show itself, I mean, even the Nintendo Treehouse stuff, which we're expecting, like, you know, oh, they're going to show some cool indies or have, you know, and to be fair, they did do some, but compared to the show the year before, I felt it was, you know, it was underwhelming. I thought they focused overly long on certain games. Some of the games they showed, I don't think, even if they're fun games, they just didn't make for particularly good viewing.
Right. It just kind of really showed that Nintendo just did not have a lot to offer for this E3.
Yeah. So, you know, you can't nail every E3, every, you know, Sony, Microsoft, everybody's had bad E3s. You know, as a rule, I mean, thinking back over, 20 years of E3, I can probably only think of 3 or 4 Nintendo ones that I would say are, you know, quote unquote bad.
Yeah. I can think of just one really.
Yeah. Wii Music.
Yeah. Well, I guess 2. Three, which is the Wii Music, the 2015 E3 and the 2014 E3.
Oh, you got them back to back, huh?
Yeah, because the 24 E3 didn't mention anything, and they trapped us in a room for 3 hours so they can announce that Wii Fit Trainer was there. I'm not going to forgive them for that. I don't care how fun the games on the show floor were. You don't trap us in here.
That's personal bias.
That is personal. Yeah. I'll admit that.
I remember one year, this is going back to like the GameCube era, and when they kind of focused a lot on the connectivity between that and the Game Boy Advance, and it seemed odd because it's like, you know, you got the PlayStation 2 at that point was the big leader. Microsoft was nipping at their heels. And, you know, you got all these, you know, connectivity was a cool idea, but I don't know if you ever tried to do it in practical application. It's just a mess of wires.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've got that Game Boy Advance connector cable.
Yeah, it was just, you know, yeah, it just never worked out as they hoped. And I kind of regret the gamepad hasn't done expanded on some of those ideas. Some of them has, but. But yeah, as a rule, more often than not, Nintendo does good with E3. So this year was just one of their weaker years.
Yeah. So let's hope they kind of you know, bring some new stuff to the table. And let's hope they actually do an actual stage show this time. They've got a the NX coming out, so they got to really make a grand entrance of it.
Yeah, and I think unlike this past year, the NX really warrants having that grand spectacle.
It absolutely does. And even if it doesn't warrant that grand spectacle, they need to make it a grand spectacle. You know, they need to do everything they possibly can to push this new piece of hardware out to the public and say, hey, this is awesome. Buy this. It's great. You'll regret it if you don't.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. We gotta learn more. We know so little. I was thinking of that when we were writing on the NX for the last issue of PNM. And, you know, what are we hoping? It's like it dawns on me, like, I don't even really know. Is the NX a home console? Is it a hybrid? I mean, what? There's so little concrete that we know.
Yeah.
And so much of it is rumor, you know. Give us something solid, you know, to grasp and cling on to.
Nintendo's notoriously tight-lipped when it comes to these kinds of things, so it's doubtful we're really not going to hear anything for a while, or at least until, like, maybe at the very earliest, a month before E3.
Yeah. Get a little tease, so make sure everybody will flood to, you know, when the gates open, flood over to Nintendo's area.
And of course, by us, I mean the general public, not like other developers or something who may or may not already have, you know, a dev kit of the NX.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, yeah. That's true, though. Thinking back to like the original Wii, I mean, we really didn't learn much about that till, you know, not long before it launched. So,
I gotcha.
But Nintendo's gonna hold things close to their chest, because you, even with the Wii, you know, they announced the Wii, and then suddenly Sony has the Access controller with motion control built in. Like, where did that come from? I mean, they're like, oh, it's from way back when, but, you know.
Well, and then they're like, hey, ignore that though, but check out this Move that we have.
Exactly. I mean, you know, Nintendo's gonna, they got to guard their ideas. I mean, they're innovators. You know, they don't always nail it, but, you know, there's so many times they do.
That's true. Let's just hope they do this time.
Yeah.
All right. Do you have any more highlights?
Let me take a peek at my little list here. I think I touched the big four, I guess. I will say that for, even though the quantity of releases wasn't there for first party content, I look at Mario Maker, I look at Splatoon, I look at Yoshi's Woolly World, I look at Xenoblade. I mean, those are big games. I think Nintendo really did good getting out quality first party content, stuff that'll keep us busy. And so I commend them for that. I think those are all, in their own way, really could be system sellers, depending on the type of genre you like. And certainly in the case of Mario Maker and Splatoon, they have been system sellers.
That's true. And my last highlight I have is actually Xenoblade X released, which is a good highlight for me.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the best highlight for everybody else, but I liked it okay.
Well, no, that was big. I think that's good. Doesn't everyone seem to like that?
Yeah, I think I've put like 160 hours into the game now.
Oh, man. Is that the most you've ever sunk into, not counting like, you know, replaying a game over years, but just for like a period of time, is that the most you've sunk into a game?
Into like one single campaign?
Yeah.
Into one single campaign, yeah, this is probably the most I've ever done. Mm. Like, I don't know, it's hard to say, because Xenoblade Chronicles, I've played, you know, for a lengthy period of time over the course of several files for like a solid year, maybe a solid year and a half. Just trying to dig through everything. So I don't know. That's tough to say, because that and maybe Final Fantasy VII when I was a kid, I probably sunk over 300 hours into that game.
Wow.
Looking back onto it now, I just can't think of why. Like,
you were trying to figure out the way to, is it a spoiler after this long? But a certain character,
you know,
who died,
no,
you were trying
cares?
To find a way to save her.
Who cares? Aeris dies. That's what happens. And yeah, I actually did fall for some of that crap. Like, you go online and message boards, you're like, buy 90, get 99 tissues and then do this and talk to Dio. And he, you know, he gives you something. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, that was, oh, man.
Yeah. And she's back at the church. And of course, that didn't happen. And then I try the next thing. It's like, oh, if you get all your characters to level 99 before the scene where, you know, Sephiroth impales her, then, you know, Cloud stops her and you fight Sephiroth right there.
Hey, I tell you.
I don't think I tried that one, but I was probably close to trying that one.
People just...
Yeah.
So many of those. I'm remembering others too. But...
Or breeding all those chocobos to get to that golden chocobo so I can get Knights of the Round. That took a lot of hours.
Yeah. But no, Xenoblade, I mean, Xenoblade big, and with Xenoblade 3D on the new 3DS is kind of the year of Xenoblade in a way, because the year came in with Xenoblade and it's ended with Xenoblade. And
so will the next year for me. It will end with Xenoblade.
You think too, Xenoblade, that was announced really early.
And yeah, that was announced like 3 years ago or something.
Yeah, and Woolly World too, for that matter. I think it was known as Yarn Yoshi back then, but
yeah,
those were two like games people have been waiting on for, you know, seemingly forever, and they both came out this year, and you know, along with Mario Maker Splatoon, I think that's a great first party mix. I mean, you know, I don't know what the rankings are on certain sites are for all those games, but I imagine, you know, they all got to be up there. Certainly for us. I mean, they were all high scoring.
Absolutely. And real quick, any more lowlights?
Let me peek here on my list. Did that. I just said, I don't know. I think we might have talked about it a little, but for me, game delays in general, you know, Star Fox Zero.
Oh, yeah. Star Fox Zero got delayed. Zelda got delayed.
I mean, even you know, indie games like we had after E3, they had that, what was it called? We played the games with Alex, the Nindie showcase there.
Yeah.
And they're like, all these games are due out by end of the year, but, you know, we're still waiting on Rive, still waiting on Lovely Planet.
Exactly. I was like waiting for you to mention Lovely Planet.
Yeah, the Mutant Mud Super Challenge. And granted, all these games are, I think, due in the first quarter, but still, yeah, delays in general, I think, are kind of let you down, let me down.
Yeah. Yeah.
The only good thing about them is it gives you time to catch up on games, you know, you're behind on, but.
That's true. And we got about...
Oh, go ahead.
We got about 10 minutes to wrap this up, so we're going to go ahead and ask you to move on real quick. We just talked about 2015, and we're going to move forward into 2016. We're not going to talk about what Nintendo could do in 2016 to make a better year, but we're going to talk about we ourselves, what we're going to do to make ourselves a better 2016. Our gaming resolutions, if you will. And Trevor, do you have any gaming resolutions?
Well, I don't know if you call them resolutions because they're not like things I'm specifically thinking about for 2016, but kind of more in general, which I guess maybe says that I'm not too good at gaming goals if I'm thinking about these every year. But I know, like, you know, there's still games that I haven't picked up that released this year that I was really interested and picking up. Like, I wanted to get the new Skylanders Superchargers. I wanted to pick up Animal Crossing on the 3DS. I want to pick up, even though I have it on Wii U, I want to pick up a physical copy of Shovel Knight on my 3DS. And I see these games, you know, on the shelf, and I'm like, man, I don't have them yet. And, you know, not to mention the games I have on my shelf that I still haven't beaten. So I guess I want to be less of a collector of games, more of a player of games, and actually, you know, finish games, assuming they're games that can be finished and aren't, you know, like life simulators or whatever.
I gotcha. I myself, I've only got like a couple. One is to make a Mario Maker level with like that I can get over 100 coins or stars or whatever the heck on.
Ooh, that's a good one.
So I want to get that. And then I also want to try to knock a few more minutes off my time in Mega Man X2. Like, I'm going to run that a little bit faster. Try to get it under an hour. That's my goal, is get it under an hour by the end of 2016.
There you go. Yeah.
And that's pretty much it. Otherwise, I'm doing pretty good with gaming, I think.
Yeah.
Also, I don't want to set too many goals because Xenoblade X is taking up all my time.
Yeah. I would like to, I know as far as, like, your Nintendo P&M, you know, the magazine goes, I think that had good growth in 2015. We had our 25th issue. We had, you know, some new contributors. We had some, I think the quality, the scope of the articles improved.
We have a news team.
Yeah, I'd like to be able to focus more on the magazine end. I think we have some nice, like, recurring features. I'd like to maybe delve into, like, an area I haven't done. Like, I was thinking of maybe taking a crack at, like, doing a cooking recipe feature. You know, which is a semi-recurring thing for us, or doing a versus article, something I haven't done, you know, to break out of my own comfort niche and just kind of expand the scope of my writing.
I gotcha.
All
right.
Well, as far as pure Nintendo stuff, I don't know if you had like any video type goals or.
I'll talk about that another time.
Okay.
In the meanwhile, I'm going to go ahead and start wrapping this up right now. So, Trev, I want to thank you for joining me in this episode.
Yeah, glad to be here. It was fun.
I would also like to thank our listeners to tuning into yet another KoopaCast this week. And if you have a question for the KoopaCast, you can always email us at podcast@purenintendo.com. You can also talk to us on Twitter. I am at purely_Matt. Trevor is at purelytrev_G1. Nice. And all of us together are at purenintendo. So if you want to hear more of the KoopaCast, you can always take a look at our YouTube page, youtube.com/purenintendo. For our audio listeners, you can go to iTunes and look up KoopaCast. And for everyone else, you can always check out our audio collection at purenintendo.com/podcast. And finally, for all news, reviews, and features of Nintendo, please check out purenintendo.com, your independent source for all things Nintendo. And we'll see you all next time.